talking about running your race. Life is a race. It's not a rat race. It's a race that God inspires us to run and to win. Paul tells us that we're in a race and we're to run it to win. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about we need endurance to run this race. We talked about how we need to endure temptation, a difficult thing, but God's given us a lot of help. Pastor Dan preached an amazing message about this endurance as well, talking about, are you dangerous? I loved it. Are you dangerous? Talking about breakout. Don't figure your way out. Follow your way out. I think it's really good. We're always figuring how to get out of something and what we should do next. Sometimes we just need to follow the leading of the Lord as He leads us out. And as always, you can get those messages, any messages that we've done here, by going to livingfaithfellowship.com, and we have all of our media there, so you're welcome to get it. I want to talk to you this morning. The title of the message is, you talk about enduring, you have to endure temptation. I want to talk to you this morning about enduring love. Enduring love. Not that you have to endure someone loving you, but you need to endure in your loving. Let's stand. Read 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Amen. You may be seated. As you can see, there's our word enduring at the very end here. Enduring love. Love needs to endure, right? It needs to endure a lot. In order to be enduring love, we have to endure some things. It says it endures all things, not just some things. Our love isn't just supposed to endure some things. It's supposed to endure all things. It's supposed to be lasting. I want to share from this book in Corinthians. I'm excited about this book. I love the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians here. This is 1 Corinthians 13. In chapter 12, we're going to talk about all of these power gifts, right? All of these power gifts that God has given to us believers. In chapter 14, we're going to talk about power gifts again, these spiritual gifts that God has given us. But right sandwiched between these two power gifts, sandwiched right into it is the meat. And that is talking about love. It's the love chapter. So I want you to get this idea of here's these powerful gifts, but the reason for everything is the meat in between, which is this thing called love. Paul was writing to the church in Corinth because they were going through a lot of divisions. It was very divisive. It's kind of like our climate today in our society. A lot of divisions going on, a lot of bickering, a lot of fighting, a lot of this going back and forth. Well, I think it's this, I think it's that. And a lot of things were happening, taking people to court. They were talking about immoral things. As a matter of fact, Corinthians was a very immoral city. It was a crossroads. It was a traffic where a lot of boats went through, foot traffic went through. So it was a very large city. But it was a very immoral city. As a matter of fact, they said to Corinthianize used to be a term. To Corinthianize, act like a Corinthian meant that you were a very immoral person. It even had that connotation. I'm excited. Pastor Tom and I will be in Corinth in about 2 or 2.5 weeks, I think it is, Pastor Tom. We're going to be going on a journey. We're trying to scout out. We've done Turkey. We're going to do Greece. We're trying to put together a plan, a tour for the footsteps of Paul. And so we're trying to get all of this together. So we're going on a familiarization trip, which is nice because it's very cheap. And we can scout it out so that we can bring other people on this trip. And so in the next year or so, we'll be talking about that as well. I encourage two things. First of all, you need to go to Israel. If you haven't gone to Israel, you need to go there. You'll read the Bible differently. But I'm excited also about this trip, life of Paul, or the footsteps of Paul, because I want to get an idea of what he was thinking, what he was seeing. When you see stuff, you read the Bible so differently. So here it is, these spiritual gifts, and the meat, if you will, in the middle. Let me describe it this way, because at the very end of chapter 12, it's the power gifts, right? Going through all these spiritual gifts. At the very end, look what he says. Look what Paul says here. But earnestly desire the best gifts. He's saying, go after these gifts. Desire them, all right? And yet, I show you a more, say it with me, excellent way. I want you to go after these. I want you to desire them. As a matter of fact, this word earnest desire, one word in the Greek, zeloo, it means to have warmth of feeling. It's translated to covet or to be zealous for. He wants you honestly, you know, covet, we always see it a negative word, a negative connotation, because I want that. We're coveting something. He's saying if you want to covet something, covet these spiritual gifts. Want them so much in your life because they'll be valuable to you in your life. But then he says this, I will teach you a more excellent way. Remember, he's talking about division. There was about division in the church. The way you get out of division is by this concept called love. I'm going to teach you a more excellent way. Huperboale. It means throwing beyond others. A throwing beyond others. It means it goes beyond where everybody else goes. Everybody can put it out to here, but this thing can go way, way out and beyond. A more excellent way. Beyond. It means super eminence. The word eminence means fame or recognized superiority. So this is way beyond anything else. It's super superior. It's super superior what I'm going to talk to you about. I'm going to talk to you a more excellent way. And then we start chapter 13 where he talks about love. Now that's how we get into chapter 13. Look how we get out of chapter 13, the start of chapter 14. I just want to talk to you about how important this chapter is. As we leave chapter 13 into chapter 14, first of all, let me say this. We're to have earnest desire and be zealous and covet for spiritual gifts. Why? Because they're of great value in your spiritual walk. Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit so he would empower us to give us all that we needed to walk the walk that he's called us to walk here in our life. He wants us to use them. And yet, there's something more excellent, superior, way beyond all of this. What's that? It's chapter 13. It's love. There's a supernatural power in love. So chapter 14. Chapter 14 starts with this. 1 Corinthians 14:1. He reminds us again. Pursue love. That's how he starts it. He says there's a more excellent way, gets in this love chapter, and before he talks about these powerful gifts again, he says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. That word pursue, dioko, it means to do something with intense effort and with definite purpose or goal. To strive toward. This idea of pursuing love was not, hey, as it happens, you know, along the way, you see some stuff, kind of pursue love, it's a good thing. No, he says, on your journey, as you're walking your Christian walk, as you're running this race, pursue, go after, look for, grab hold of, make sure it's a part of your life. This concept of love. Of love. Love, and that word love here is agape. Agape love. Not a phileo, or brotherly, or a eros, a sensual. It's this agape. Agape love. A different type of love. It means affection or benevolence. A love feast. You know, I always think about agape, which is a God-given love. And it gives such an anemic, it seems to me, definition. Affection or benevolence, a love feast. That's kind of all it says here. But this is the same love. This is the same love God had for us in John 3:16. This is the same love that God has for us. A love that's not based on feeling. A love that's not based on duty. A love that's not based on reciprocation. In other words, they love me, so I'm going to love them back. But on commitment. It's a supernatural, godly love. And I pray you get the essence of what I'm trying to say today about this concept, this agape love that we are to love God with and we're to love one another with. Our friends and our enemies. John, I love John 3:16, man. You know, as we were talking about love, and I shared, and Gary knows I love that song by the Parachute Band. Love is the deal, man. I tell you, he loved me, an unlovable person, and he loved me. He loved me into the kingdom. He loved me when I was a wicked, bad person. He loved me. He just kept loving me, and his love was so strong after me and after me and after me. It just broke me down, and I accepted it, and it actually radically changed my life. His love, that agape love, for God so loved. Agape, A-O, it's a derivation of that. 25 and 26 are the two words. They go back and forth on each other. He says that he loved the world. He loved me. God loved me. I didn't have to do anything to deserve it. I didn't have to do anything to gain it. He loved you and me when we hated him, when we walked away from him, when we didn't care about him, when we told him to get lost, when we said, I don't want your conviction. Quit messing my life up. I want to sin. Let me go. He kept loving me in the midst of all of my wickedness. Therefore, if you did nothing to gain it, you can do nothing to lose it. You can't lose it. I'm just really bad. I sinned today. I did stuff I shouldn't have done. He still loves you. Is he happy with you? No, he's not happy with you. But he still loves you a whole lot beyond what you can comprehend. He still loves you. He says, come on, get back up. Get out of there. Let's clean you off. Let's keep going. Don't wallow around in that. Get up. Let's go. I'm not done with you. You can't do anything to lose it, but you can do something about it. You can choose to love him back. You can choose to accept his love and love him back. Wow, if that isn't easy. To love a God who gave you everything, died for you, opened up heaven's door forever, gave you eternity, gave you purpose, gave you design, gave you himself. Boy, that's not hard. And secondly, you can choose to love other people the same way. Think about it. The same way that God loves you. Because that's what he's going to say. The two great commandments, right? Love God, love one another. Continuing on. That he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Wow. Man, I tell you, we should have a party here. Jesus didn't come to condemn you and tell you how bad you are. And we are bad. Our works are like filthy rags. All of our righteousness, we are so far below him. He didn't come to condemn me and tell me how bad I am, even though I am. He came to show you and me how good you could become. He's up there looking at us. We're so rotten, so vile. He comes, he dies for us, and he doesn't rub our nose in our sin. He says, oh, I didn't come to tell you how bad you are. You already know how bad you are. We all do. All of our secret sins that nobody else sees. We all know how bad we are. But he said, I came to forgive you and to show you how good you could become. How awesome your life could be. You could be a family man. You could get married. You could have children. You could raise them up. You could invest your life in them. You could do things. You could help people. You could change lives. You could help your coworkers. You could be there. You could do good. How good you could become, he told us, how good we could become if we would let him into our life and let him love us. Think about that for a moment. I want to say to unsaved people, if you don't know the Lord, God is asking you, please, 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 let me love you. Let me tell you how awesome I think you are. Let me love you. Let me lavish my love upon you. Let me lavish my forgiveness upon you. Let me tell you how wonderful you are to me, how special, how awesome, how I have just a wonderful and perfect and awesome life for you. It's going to have some difficulty, but I'm going to be there every step of the way. Let me, please, I beg you, let me into your life. Let me just love on you. He says that to unsaved people. You know what he says to saved people? Let me love you. Now hear this. Because I think also as Christians, we don't let him love us the way he wants to love us. We just, I had a bad thought today. I did a wrong thing today. I shouldn't have done that. Honked my horn really loud at the old lady walking across the street. Shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have done that. Lord, just strike me from the face of the earth. Smite me, O thou smiter. Now, let me love you. Let me love you. Let me love you. Because I'll tell you, all of you right here, right now, you're not allowing him to love you enough. Because he has so much more love that he wants to love you with. He has so much more he wants to do in your life. I'm just saying we've got to get this idea. Let him love you, even when you know you don't deserve it. I know better now, and I did it wrong, and let me love you. I'll tell you what, that love, as it's lavished upon you, as he continues to love and love and love, it will begin to pour out of you the same love with which you've been loved. And you will lavish it on a world that doesn't deserve love either. Whatever political party you are, the other party deserves to die. No, they don't. We're supposed to love them. Love them. Love them. Love them. Agape love is God-inspired love, a God-empowered love, a God-enabled love. And you can't love like this on your own. You can't love like this without God's inspiration, empowerment, and enablement. You can't love like that. You can't love somebody who's hurt you. You can't love somebody who's harmed you. You can't love your enemy. You can't do that unless God gives you a supernatural love that transcends any reason, any logic, any, well, I love you because. There is no because. I just love. Just love you. Because God gave it to me when I didn't deserve it. I'm giving it to you. You don't deserve it, you filthy pig. You don't deserve it. But I love you anyway. That's what changes the world. You can't love like this without God's help. You can't do it on your own. You have to let him love you so you can love him back and love others as well. He gives you this love, this enduring love. Enduring so that when something happens, it doesn't quit loving. It overrides whatever happened in all things. It continues to love. Just like he did to me. I gave him so many reasons to go, this kid is unlovable. Let him go. Now, he didn't do that to me. He should have. He didn't. That's what makes it so amazing. John, it's the essence of what he is. In 1 John 4:7 and 8, it says, Beloved, let us love one another. For love, agape, love is of God. It comes from God. And everyone who loves agape is born of God and knows God. He who does not agape love, which means love without reason and never stops loving and endures in that love. He that doesn't love does not know God. That's a scary spot to me. Have you stopped your love? Have you said, no, I'm not going to love that person anymore? For God is love. It's his essence. It's what he does. It's his job. I just love. I love everybody. It's his nature. It's his essence. It's what he's made of. He's made of love molecules. Literally, I don't know how else to say it, that it's what he's saying. He is it. He is it. That's the essence of what he is. He just loves. He'll love you hard sometimes too. He'll give you the old spanking on the back because he loves you. You gotta realize it's not, when I'm saying love, I don't think, oh, lovey-dovey-oop-a-doo-dee. He's going, what? Hey, come here. No, you can't do that. I love you too much to let you go that way. No. No, you can't. No. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. Love is the meat in the sandwich between 12 and 14 is 13. The bread is not intended to be anything other than the place that carries the meat. I was thinking about a sandwich. Anybody hungry? Everybody's hungry. I was thinking about a sandwich. Nobody goes, oh, the sandwich comes. Now, you may, you're going, oh, I'm watching calories, so I just eat the meat, right? Nobody goes, oh, I don't want the meat. I just want the bread and eats the bread. Nobody. The bread just carries the meat. All it does is carry the meat. You may pick out off the bread and then begin to eat the meat. Now, those are big pieces. I was going to eat one, but those are, that's good. That's good. The bread, these spiritual gifts, the power that God has given you. He gave you a power so you could take and carry his love to people who needed to eat some meat. It's not like, oh, I just like the bread. I just want the power. I don't want the inside the sandwich. Nobody eats the outside of the sandwich. You eat the inside of the sandwich. It simply carries the meat around. It carries the meat around so people can eat the meat. They'll eat some bread too. Oh, the power gift was great. That's awful. I love that word of knowledge. It was great. But the word of knowledge that you had helped me. I need some water. Help me. That word of knowledge helped me understand. Can you open that for me? That word of knowledge helped me understand God cares about. I remember my sister sitting right here. There was a word of knowledge for a girl who had an earache in her right ear. She turns to me and says, did you tell him that? I said, I don't even know you have an earache. It's the only time she's ever been here. One time. She turned to me and said, well, what do? I said, just stand up. I just want to pray for you. So she stood up. And as soon as she stood up, she started to bawl. They prayed for her. When she left here, God healed her. She never told me. She told my other sister. On the way home, she goes, you know, when I get an earache, it lasts 6 or 7 days. It was like gone by the time we were in the car and gone. That's crazy. She started walking with the Lord more. She realized God loves her. What did Jesus do? Jesus had signs and wonders and miracles and healings. All of those things that happened. That was all the bread because the meat was, I love you. I love you so much. I'm just trying to get your attention. Oh, I can do that. I can heal you. I can do that. I can help you there. I can get a fish. I get money out of a fish. I can do all that stuff. But the reason I'm doing it is so you understand how much I love you. The meat. The meat is love. The reason everything that we have and all he's given us is so we could go and do like he did and love a world that's unlovable today and needs the love of God in it. Yes. If we're going to change the world, we're not going to change it by our political views. We're going to change it by godly, loving people. Now, that doesn't mean we just back away. I'm not saying that. Oh, whatever. No, no, no. We stand up and declare the truth in love, right? Here, Carrie, do you want a sandwich? Curtis? Catherine? I got my hands all over. I was giving it to somebody, but COVID won't allow us, so. The meat! So let's get to our main text, since we're almost done. First Corinthians. I want to start back a little earlier now. I've given you that thought. Now let's read chapter 13 now. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, that's a spiritual gift. But have not love, agape, I have become sounding brass. The word sounding brass means like a gong. Ever watch the gong show? These people don't know what I'm talking about. The gong show. Remember the gong show? You become like a gong or a clanging cymbal. A clanging cymbal. Exercising spiritual gifts without love is like, hey, I'm a Christian. I'm a spiritual person. You need to change your life, you sinner. What the heck's wrong with you? Hi, how are you? Jesus, he's awesome, man. Look at me. You can be like me if you let Jesus, he'll make you powerful. You know what this is? It's annoying. Yes. It's annoying. You know what a spiritually strong Christian is without love? Annoying. Well, no, you should do this. You should do that. No, 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 no. God said, no, you should do, you should do, you should do, you should do. Without exercising love, we're... Annoying. 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 Thought I'd put it up there. Put that next slide up. Without love, our Christian spirituality and our Christian witness becomes annoying. If God would have told me, feeling you need to shape your life up, you are a disgrace to life itself, the existence. You call yourself a human. My gosh, you're awful. You're never going to amount to nothing. You're a nobody. That didn't change me. I already knew all that. I need someone who said, hey, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I know you did. I love you anyway. I'm going to keep running after you, man. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm not happy with yourself. No, no, but I love you. 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 And I'm not going to stop ever. The clanging cymbal has no purpose except annoyance. The gifts without love become annoying. I'll show you a more excellent way. The gifts with love become transforming. And though I have the gift of prophecy, another spiritual gift, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, another spiritual gift. And although I have all faith and I can remove mountains, faith, another spiritual gift, but have not love, agape, I am nothing, a nobody, a zero. I am totally meaningless. I'm irrelevant. Paul is showing us just how pointless even the most impressive spiritual gifts are without love. They're meaningless. They're worth nothing. They're only to show your arrogance. And though I bestow all my goods, not some of them, all my goods to feed the poor. Wow, that's charity. And though I give my body to be burned. Wow, that's sacrifice. But have not love, agape, it profits me what? Nothing. You gain no ground. Sure, you have the right answer. Sure, you have the Bible in you. But as you beat it on somebody's head and tell them how bad they are, it's not going to change anything. But if you tell them the truth in love, we need the truth today more than ever. But we need it displayed in love. In love. In love. In love, charity and sacrifice are meaningless and purposeless and profitless without agape loves. So let me give you, as we wind this down, the 15 qualities and characteristics of agape love. As we wind this down. That was a joke. That was a joke. That was not a joke. We are going to wind it down here, hopefully. We're going to go fast. Love, agape, God's type of love, suffers long. It suffers long. It means to be long-spirited, patient, to demonstrate patience despite difficulties. Patience despite difficulties. And then it said this, to be patient, to remain patient, to wait patiently. Three things that are difficult for me. I don't like any of those. When this is blocked over here, we're supposed to get in the line. I'm looking for somewhere else we can go and get past. I don't want to wait. I'm impatient. Love is kind. Kind means to show oneself useful. You see, kindness has to have an action, or it's really not kindness. Kindness isn't, hi there. Kindness is in an action. Something that you say, something that you do. It's an action. God was kind to us. Love, agape, does not envy. To experience strong envy and resentment against someone, to be jealous, to just not like somebody. I don't like your view. You may not like their view, but you still have to love them. Love, agape, does not parade itself. Does not parade. To praise oneself excessively, to brag. To throw a parade for yourself. All I can see is a guy going, dun, 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 dun. I am so wonderful. I'm an awesome Christian man. I mean, don't throw a parade for yourself. Good Lord. Jeez. You know the people that do throw a parade for themselves. You're going, oh, jeez, Lord. God. Just, it's annoying. Let me just tell you that. Arrogance. It really is annoying. You just go, oh God, this stinks. Is not puffed up. Not puffed up. It means a sense of blowing, to inflate, make proud, haughty, or arrogant. That's not love. Does not behave rudely. It's not rude. Rude means to be and act unbecoming, to act shamefully. Indecent behavior, shameful deed. Does not seek its own. To be selfish, me-centered, always concerned about themselves. Okay, yeah, I got all this, but okay, stop for a second. How does that affect me? What affects me in this? What do I get out of this? Not, hey. Yeah, you know, that's one thing about being a parent, it's amazing how much you care for your kids. You know, you want to do it for them. You're willing to sacrifice for them. But if it's not about me, it's about us. It's about them. It's about your spouse. It's about your friends. It's about other people. It's about making them happy, seeing them smile, having enjoyment, them feeling love. It's not provoked. Not provoked. Not easily upset, angered, or frustrated. My wife says that to me a lot. You seem frustrated. And it's probably true. And I hate the word. You're frustrated. No, I'm not. I just don't want to be frustrated. But I am. I just don't want to admit it. I hate it. I think our whole family, I think the Vance family as a whole, everywhere, I don't know, there's a frustration that happens. Creighton somehow missed it, but the rest of us got it. My wife, she doesn't get frustrated. I guess maybe it's just me. of you are trying to share the wealth. I can just take this. I am so frustrated. I'm just a big frustrated mess. Hallelujah. Okay. Thinks no evil. Thinks no evil. When evil, worthless, injurious, causing or likely to cause damage or harm. And I think when I look at this one, it's not just being bad, it's being wicked. It's not just being bad, it's just being wicked. How could we hurt him more? How could we make it more miserable for that person? That's what the devil does for you. Don't act like the devil to somebody else. We're supposed to act like Jesus, who loves them, does not rejoice in iniquity. Number 10, wrongfulness, wrongfulness. We don't rejoice in that. It also means injustice. We stand up for what's right, but rejoices in the truth, rejoices in the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The truth is important to us. This is important. This is truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. My life needs to line up with this. This doesn't have to line up with me. If it lines up with me, we have to take about 98% out of here. And people do that. I don't like that. I don't like that. But that's what it says. We're supposed to change to it. It doesn't change to us. Yet we have a society today that wants to change this to us. We're progressive. We're way ahead. We got to get current. God is so out of date. I mean, this is so old. No, it's so good. It's so good. Bears all things. Love bears things. To cover with silence. Enduring patiently. Bearing with somebody else. Holding their secret and helping them through it. To put up with annoyance or difficulty. Look at this. To put up with annoyance or difficulty. We have to put up with the annoyance of other people who are running their own parade. 13, believes all things, means to have faith, to entrust, especially one's spiritual well-being to Christ, to believe to the extent of completion, of complete trust and reliance, hopes in all things, to expect or confide, to anticipate, usually with pleasure, expectation, or confidence. It's hoping. I'm just a hopeful person. Hey, it's going to happen. I mean, you get these values. That this is what a Christian is supposed to be like. We're not supposed to look like the world. We're not supposed to be as angry as they are. We're supposed to look differently, still holding up truth, but with a love, a more excellent way of doing it. With love, care. And lastly, endures, our topic. Endures all things. Love endures all things. Love endures it. It stays under. It remains. It has fortitude. It perseveres. It continues. It continues. It continues in spite of any other thing. Endurance is one of the definitions of love. Love endures some things. It endures not some things. The definition is it endures all things. You see, love endures hatred. Love endures betrayal. Love endures sin. Love endures failure. And the other people that have done certain things, love endures that. So we continue to love. I'm not trying to say you're best friends or whatever. If you're in an abusive situation, you need to be out of that. But love continues to move with hope. Agape love keeps moving toward people even when it has been hurt. Hear that. Agape love moves toward people even when it has been hurt. Been hurt. Here's what I want to do. And yet agape love goes, here's what I'm commanded to do. To keep moving toward you. Because if Jesus and all of the things I said to him in my younger life, I'm sure I hurt him. If he took it that way, I wouldn't be standing here today. I wouldn't know the Lord. But it's his love for me, his enduring love. Remember, I said last time, his mercy endures. Another translation is, love endures forever. So is ours supposed to. It's to endure. I can't love them. They hurt me. Oh, you don't have to like them. But you do have to love them. How can I do that? How can I love someone who hurt me? The same way, using the same love that God gives you, that allowed him to love you when you hurt him, when you ran for him, when you told him, Lord, I'm going to do this, and you never did. When you said, I'm going to change, and you never did. When you told him to get out of your life because I want to do this. When we hurt him, he didn't take it personally. He just took you personally and went after you even all the more. It's not understandable, the love of God. I remember way back when it was the Amish, when they had that person that came in and killed some of the Amish kids. And the Amish people stood up and they declared, even on national news, how they forgave the man. This man just killed all these children. What a wicked person. And yet, you know what they said? We forgive him. We forgive him. Right off the bat. I would need a week or two, honestly. But they exemplified love. Love. That love can only come from God. And I'm sure they were crying and weeping as they were saying it. If enduring love is fundamental, is a fundamental component of Christianity, are we enduring? Are we enduring with our love? God's love for you endures forever. How does your love endure? That person that you don't like so well. I'm not trying to say you have to be best friends. You just can't hate him. You just can't hate him. You can't hate him. Lord, help me to love the unlovable. A person has a different opinion. A person who's doing things that I think are wicked. We need to stand up for that. Stand against it. But we can never hate, because hate comes from the devil. And when we start to hate, we start doing the devil's business. Agape love. You know, there's a song that said, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Now, we don't need sweet love. We need agape love. We don't need sweet love. Oh, it's nice. Let's all be happy. We need love that's going to love in a difficult time. We need love that's going to persevere in a difficult season of our nation right now. We're going to need love that's going to stand up and say the truth in love, because we love the Lord and we love people. If you want to get mad at somebody and hate somebody, hate the devil. Because he's the one who's controlling, influencing, and impacting the lives of people who are taking forces. The enemy has a strategic plan to destroy our nation, to destroy our world. And people are buying in, calling it good when it's really evil. We need to stand up and call good good and be good and love good. It seems that what the world has today, plenty of, is confusion, division, and hate. We're being taught to hate, even at a young age, those that have a different opinion. Why not win them over with love? Why not love like God loves and win a world over that's misguided? We as Christians need to start loving better and start winning over more people. We as Christians need to start loving better. And the only way we can love better, the only way we can love people better, is to allow God to love us more. To to receive more of His love, to let it through, to ask Him, how do I love? How do I love this person who's speaking wrong, who's speaking lies, who's speaking untruth? How do I love that person? What does it look like, Lord? How do I do that? Help us, Lord, like You did. You changed a civilization. You changed a culture. You changed a world because You came in love. For God so loved, You came. You spoke truth, but You spoke it so lovingly. And You changed people's lives. Help us today, oh God, to speak with love that will change the lives of people. Give us the wisdom. Give us the know-how. Give us the guts. Give us the boldness. Give us the sensitivity. Give us the love, Lord, that we can love like You in this day and in this age. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we need Your help. We need Your help. I need Your help to love like You loved. And You loved everyone. Help us, Lord, to do the same in Jesus' name. Amen. Kind of with that premise, I'm going to be starting a new series. And hopefully, I don't... Since we're going to Greece, and then there's Thanksgiving break in there, and everything's kind of broken up, so I don't know how this is going to when it'll start. But here's what I want you to know: is that I'm gonna start a series entitled "What's Happening." What's happening out here in our nation, in our world? What's happening? What's going on? And what's the biblical response? What's the biblical response? How do we stand up and speak truth in a world that seems to be believing a lot of lies? How do we ourselves as Christians make sure that we're believing truth and not succumbing to the lies that seem so beautifully presented to us from people who are trying to destroy? I think that we need to take a good look at what's the Bible saying. I'm not trying to say you have to believe what I believe. But my job is to open up the scriptures to you and say, here's what it's saying. Our nation is saying this, but this is what the Bible says. And we need to stand and tell the truth in love. In love. In love. So I'd appreciate your prayers for that. If you have something you want to know, what's happening, what does the Bible have to say about it, just text me at phil@livingfaithfellowship.com. Email me there. Email me there. And, let's love well. Let's love well. If there's anything we could be accused of, let it be, you know, you just love people too much. Let's love well. And let's cause a world to come know Jesus in a powerful way. God bless you guys. I love you tons.